Once again, we want to greet you in the worthy name of Jesus once again here tonight. Do we really believe what we sang tonight? Those two songs. First song we said, the way of the cross leads where? Home. Are we going to trust the shepherd that the cross is the way to go home? Do we understand the concept of what is the cross? What's a cross symbolize in your life, in my life? The cross is cruel. It's the cruelest death that every man can ever experience. And the shepherd died there. The cross means bloodshed. The cross means, as we sing that song, the old rugged cross. Oh, how I cherish that old rugged cross. A lot of meaning there. It's going to be what we're going to look at a little bit tonight. My mind went, as I was sitting here, to a verse in John chapter 11, verse 25. It says, Jesus said when he was talking to Martha after Lazarus was raised from the dead. And Martha says that I know that he shall raise him again in the resurrection in the last day. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Then he asked the question, believest thou this? Pondering question as we think of who Jesus is and what he has done for us on Calvary's cross. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 21. I'd like to consider the thought of a price was paid, a price to pay. We've been talking about the Good Shepherd. We've been talking about how he's leading us. He is our shepherd. He is the Lord as my shepherd. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and we're going to look a little deeper at the Good Shepherd. As the price was paid, a price to pay. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. His grace is another attribute, that brother, or a good attribute of what we can obtain. His grace, his power, his strength, his enabling grace, we talk about that. The story is said about a slave sale, and that was not in this country, I don't think. But as this slave came to the auction block, and this slave was a big man, he was a strong man, he was a muscular man, and he could put a lot of work away. And he came on the auction block, and he came on the auction block madder than a hornet. He came on the auction block and said, I will not work. I will not work. And he kept proclaiming this, and the auction started. And they bid him away, and the auction went on higher and higher and higher. This is a strong man. He says, I will not work. I hate my master. The auction stopped, was sold to a man. The man came up to the man. He took the slave, looked in the master's eyes. He says, I will not work for you. He said, that's all right. He says, you don't have to work for me. He said, I bought you to set you free. He said, you can go free. You can go and do what you want to do. The slave looked at the master and said, master, I'll work the rest of my life for you. Why? Because of love. We find this little story here in Exodus chapter 21, a type of Christ. And what he has done for you, the great shepherd, the bishop of our souls, what he has done for you and bought you and set you free. Exodus chapter 1, chapter 21, verse 1 to verse 6. Now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. These are the judgments that Moses was telling to the children of Israel. And this was the law that they were to abide by. Verse 2, it says, if thou buy a Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and the seventh he shall go out free with nothing. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master hath given him a wife, and she hath bore him sons and daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master, and he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, my children, I will not go out free. Then his master shall bring him unto the judges, and he shall also bring him to the door, and unto the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. Price was paid because of love. This servant. If this man or a Hebrew man bought a Hebrew servant, he bought him with a price. He bought him to give him a job. Maybe he accumulated a debt. And he bought him to pay off this debt. And then there was a price that was paid because of love. Now I'd like to ask you a question. As you look at this little article here and little story here, who was the Hebrew servant? Old Testament always has types and shadows. Who is the Hebrew servant? Who is the master? Who is the wife? And who is the children? Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a what? A servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Who was the Hebrew servant? It was Jesus himself. Jesus was bought with a price. Jesus was bought to set us free. In those days, slaves were treated very well. A Hebrew slave was treated very well. We think of a slave in the United States of America during slave time was they were treated rough. They were treated brutal. They were treated like animals. These were not treated like that. If we notice in the story here that the master's daughter could have married the servant. It says if he came in with a wife, he went out with a wife. If he came in alone and the master gave him a wife, and it could have been his own daughter. Not always. He will go out himself and let his wife there and the children. The servant served 6 years, and then he was set free. Unless he plainly declared, I love my master. Who is the master? But God himself. He comes before the judge. And there he is judged. Is he true? Will he be true to the master? And he is true to the master. And then his ear is pierced with an awl. As a mark, a permanent mark of identity to the master. Who is the wife? Who is the wife? Who is Jesus' bride that he's coming for? But nothing but the pure church. The pure church is Jesus is coming back for. Who are the children? They're the innocent ones. The innocent ones among us. As he comes back. Well, let's look at what was the price that was paid. What was the price that was paid? John chapter 6 verse 38 says, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again in the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up on the last day. What was the debt that our Lord Jesus Christ accumulated? I realized Jesus was a perfect individual. Jesus was divine. And Jesus didn't sin, but what sins did he accumulate? He took every one of our sins to the cross. He took them there. He took them upon himself. Each one of us that were born of sinful nature, and each one of us that cried out to God and said, "Forgive me, Lord," and our Lord Jesus took it to the cross. You wonder why Jesus said there on the cross, "Why, oh, how is that? How, why hast thou forsaken me?" Why? God had to turn his back because God couldn't see sin, but Jesus bore our sins upon the cross. He accumulated death. He accumulated a debt that he has taken all our sins away. And we have an awful debt to pay back to him. The master gave him a wife. The master gave him a wife. He gave him a pure wife, a pure bride. And he's coming back someday for that pure bride. And that's me and you. That's the debt. That's the price he paid for you and for me, the church of Jesus Christ. He served the master for 3 years and then died. 3 short years, and yet they were so full of activity, and how he gave us a roadmap and how he gave us life and a way to serve. What was the price that was paid? In Luke chapter 22, verse 24, "And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest." We know the account. Or John, James and John came to Jesus, wanted to know if they could be the greatest. "And he said unto them, the kings and the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be the younger, and he that is chief, let him as he that serveth. And whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you as he that serveth." What was the price he paid? Willing to leave the portals of glory, leave the Father's throne, leave everything up there, that beautiful mansion, that beautiful heaven. And there he comes down to serve me and you. That's the price that was paid for me and for you. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 26. Look at another area of the price that was paid. Matthew chapter 26. He could have went out free. Do you know that? Jesus could he? He was divine. He was the Son of God. He knew he was going to go through this, but yet he still had the humanity among him. He could have went out free, but he didn't, because of love. Matthew chapter 26, verse 36. "Then Jesus said, and then cometh Jesus to them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. And then saith he unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, What, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation, for the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Arise, let us be going. Behold, he that is at hand that hath betrayed me. Can you picture our Lord Jesus Christ there in Garden of Gethsemane? Can you just picture him there going up that mountain? And there he tells his disciples, you tarry here and I'm going to go a little further. And there he falls on his face and he prays. He understands what's ahead of him. He understands the crosses ahead of him. He understands the cruelty of it there. He understands the pain that was there. He understood it all. And there he prayed, Oh, Father, take this cup from me. Do I have to go through with this? In my own words. He comes back. He finds them sleeping. They were tired. He went back again. He prayed the same thing. He came back and found them sleeping again. Can you just imagine with me this evening? Can you just picture with me if you were Jesus? And you were facing a tremendous battle, and you were facing a tremendous cost that was ahead of you. And there you asked the closest friend of yours to sit and pray. I have a neighbor at home that texted me tonight. It said he needs to go to North Carolina. And he asked me a number of times to pray for him. And I prayed for him. But I've laxed in prayer for him. He texts me again tonight and he says, Your prayers have left. And when I asked you to pray for me, he says it was like a ton of bricks rolled off my shoulders. I didn't know my prayers were that powerful. I know they're powerful. Be asked for prayer again. And I feel humbled about it, but yet I feel ashamed because there's so many times I haven't consistently prayed for him. He's a man of the world. He's an alcoholic. He wants help. He wants prayer. He has victory over alcoholic, but he doesn't have victory in understanding who Jesus is and the true living for Jesus. But can you imagine yourself, your closest friend? You asked him to pray for you. And you find him coming and find him that he's sleeping. And you do that 3 times. Price was paid by our Lord Jesus Christ. Tremendous price. Then after that, we find Jesus in the judgment hall. What happened there in the judgment hall? Was again his closest friend, his closest disciple. Betrays him. I don't know him. I have no dealings with him. I don't know him. And the cock crows thrice. And Jesus looks at Peter, and Peter walked out into the night. It's a price our Lord Jesus paid for me and for you. John chapter 13, verse 1 says, Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Price was paid because of love for me and for you. Do we understand the price that he had paid? Turn with me to John chapter 17. The high priestly prayer. I'd like to take the time to read this whole prayer. This prayer is powerful. This prayer shows us the price that our Lord Jesus Christ paid. This Hebrew servant that was willing to serve us and go that far to die for us. Verse 6. It says, I have manifest my name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Verse 9. I prayed for them. I prayed not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep thou thine own name. Those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. And those that thou gavest me, I have kept. None of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in them. Lord Jesus Christ was faithful. Our Lord Jesus Christ was willing to pay the price. He was willing to pay the price. He did it faithfully. He says, those that you gave me, those 12 little church that you gave me, I kept them there. Except the one, the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. What was that little group? It was nothing but the early church. As Jesus ascended into heaven, the angels came to those disciples looking into the skies and said, why are you gazing into heaven? This same Jesus is going to come back to you again. Go ye to Jerusalem and wait there for the Holy Ghost. Waited there 40 days hence. And the holy day of Pentecost in the early church was established. Jesus did not go free because he loved the master and he loved his wife. He loved that little group. And he gave his life for that little group. And we are the offsprings of that little group. That little church that began there in the early church. And they went forth and spread the gospel. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 25 says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ hath loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it by the washing of the water by the word, that he might present to himself a glorious church, a glorious wife, not having spot or wrinkle or of any such thing, but that he should be holy and without blemish. And that's thought provoking. And that brings us down on our knees and humble before God, that Jesus Christ someday is going to burst through the clouds and he's going to come back for a pure church. He's not coming for a half-hearted church. He's not coming for the church of Laodiceans. He's coming for the church of Philadelphia. He's coming for the church that loves one another. He's coming for the church that is holy. For his wife. For his bride. That's why he didn't go out free. That's why he paid the price. He paid the price for his side to be pierced on the wooden cross. He paid the price. As the Hebrew servant in Exodus chapter 21 says that he laid his ear, or he took his ear to the doorpost. And there he allowed his master to pierce his ear with an awl. The Lord Jesus Christ was pierced through his side with a spear on the wooden cross. What is the price to pay? We have a debt to owe. What is the price to pay? Menno Simon says in his writings, he says, with my wife and our children, I have bore great and various anxieties, sufferings, grief, afflictions, miseries, persecution for these 18 years. and have at all times been in danger of my life, while the ministers of the established church are reclining on their soft beds and dowry pillows. We often spend the night in secluded corners, while some of them are celebrating their marriage and birthdays of their children with feasts and musical instruments. We are looking anxiously about, fearing the barking of the dogs, lest persecutors should be suddenly at the door, while we are saluted by everyone as doctors, lords, and masters. We must hear that we are Anabaptists, hedge preachers, seducers, heretics, and must be saluted in the devil's name. In short, whilst they for their ministry are paid with large wages and prosperous days, our recompense and portion must be the fire, the sword, and death. Young people, this evening, we don't experience that. We don't experience that. But we heard from David Lee some of his experience, and it should bring us to our knees. What have we given up? What have we paid? Have we paid that loyalty that David was penetrated in his heart to salute the flag? Gave it up. Gave up all his benefits. He gave up moving because of his work. I can't do this. He gave up and moved. And the last thing he said, he gave up his uniforms. Have we given up our uniforms? What is our uniforms? I don't know what your uniforms are. Have you been on a journey like David? That was heartrending to me. To see what he has gone, how he has traveled, and how his heart was to seek the face of God. And the Lord took him on a journey. What is our journey? What is my journey? What have I paid for the price that our Lord Jesus Christ paid? We sing the song, "He paid it all to him I owe. Sin hath left the crimson stain, he washed it white as snow." And we love to hear that song. We love to sing that song. But I think far too many times we forget that one phrase in there, "We owe it all to him." And we glance over top of that and we don't really think what that powerful thing is. David owed it all to him. We say Jesus paid it all. We understand the crimson stain. We understand then we have been washed as white as snow. But that's as far as we go. Let's go to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7 here gives us a little bit of really, have we paid the price? We find this woman coming in to Jesus, and how Jesus was laying on the couch, and there he had his feet out prostrate from him. And there he was in Simon the Pharisee's house. And there he was communicating with him. And Simon was wondering a little bit about what Jesus was doing. And this woman comes in, full of a sin. Comes in and washes his feet with an awful, awful expensive amount of ointment. Alabaster box of ointment. And I forget, and I didn't write it down in my Bible. I usually do what the price of that ointment was, but it was a tremendous price. It was a tremendous amount of money that thing was worth. Simon knew it. Simon looked at Jesus and said in verse 39, he says, "And when the Pharisee had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, had known who and what for manner of woman this is that touches him, for she is a sinner." Jesus answering and said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditors which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both, telling me therefore which of them will love him most. And Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom most is forgiven most. And he saith unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. Where do you find yourself this morning in light of what Brother David said up there in the library? Where do you find yourself? I hope you find yourself at the same place. Because we all have to come in at the same place. We can't because I've been born in a Mennonite home. Because I've been born in a Christian home. I didn't have to get out of the army. I didn't have to get out of the Navy. I didn't have to pay that price, but we still have a price to pay. We still have to come in at the cross. We're going to have to die just like David died. Every one of us are going to have to die just like David did. We feel pretty comfortable to have everything paid for. Yeah, it's pretty comfortable to have everything paid for, and we get pretty relaxed. But we have a price to pay. I realize Jesus paid the price. He paid it in full. He paid it all. He didn't let nothing out. He paid everything. He took it all to the cross. He paid it all. But we still have a price to pay. And that is, we need to hang ourselves on that cruel cross also. We must identify with Christ. If we can't identify with Christ, we're none of His. Simple saying. But unless we hang ourselves on that cruel cross and die, we have paid the price. So many times we find ourselves comfortable in that everything is paid, that I can do my own thing. It's all paid for. It gets to be a concept. It gets to be a mindset. It's all paid, but we still have a debt to owe. Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If then your Lord and Master have washed your feet, ye ought also to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily I say unto you, the servant is no greater than the Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. And if ye know these things, happy are ye that do them. We read that in all our feet washing services. Guess you do. We do. Do we understand what it is to wash another's feet? To reach down and get down and be a servant to another. I got this definition. I'm not sure where I got it. For Christian's definition, it is not one who does certain things for God, but one for whom God has done certain things. He is not so much one who conforms to a certain manner of life as he is one who has received the gift of eternal life. He is not one who depends upon a hopeless, imperfect state, but rather one who has reached a perfect standing before God as being in Christ. That's the Christian's definition. That's the price that we are to pay. Is that we are not conformed to a certain manner of life. We're just not in this rigid life, but we are in this life. One, to please the Master and to be in Christ. And that word in Christ, if you go back there to Colossians chapter 3, and that's a beautiful passage. I think it's Colossians 3 or Colossians 2 or 3. Where it talks about we being in Christ. It's not of Christ, it's in Christ. So therefore, if we're buried in Christ, we are Christ-like. That's a Christian's definition. That's a price that we pay is when we get in Christ. But first of all, we need to hang ourselves on the cross. Ourselves might be dead to self. Will we give our life for the Master and His promised possession? Young people, will you give your life? We wonder why we have church struggles. We wonder why we got conflict. We wonder why we got attitudes. We wonder why we got bitterness. We wonder why the list goes on and on and on. Why? Is it because someone hasn't given their life for the Master and for His precious possession, promised possession? That is the church. Will we give our life and then also for the innocent children? My heart goes out to the innocent children of a struggling church. Where is my devotion and love? And then I asked you another question as we look back to Exodus chapter 21, how the Hebrew slave comes in with a wife, he goes out with a wife. What does that mean? Sad to say, there's a lot of people that are trying to get into the Christian church, to get into the church of God, and they're bringing their wife with them. They can't do it. They're going to go out with a wife. Have you bought your religion in? Then you can go out with your religion. You bought your life in, you go out with your life. But if you come in empty-handed and come and poured your heart out to God and gave all you had in labor and service for Jesus Christ, and He gives you a wife and you have children, you can stay with your children and your wife. The price is to allow my ear to be pierced through submission. Turn with me to Psalms in closing. Psalms 40. David has a little bit to say about this. What is your submission? I think many times, and maybe I'll say this over another time. I think sometimes we don't understand the concept of submission. We'll give you a little illustration of submission. I had a good friend of mine. Good friend of mine that gave up just like David gave up. Friend of mine that was zealous for God. A man that had high goals of a Christian life. A high goal. So higher goals than I have ever had. But he had this concept, and he understood where we worship God, in the sanctuary of God. And they had fellowship meals. And they would set up their fellowship meals in the sanctuary. He says, I can't do that. Me and my wife can't do that. My children can't do that, and I'm not going to do that. And he went out and took his children out to the tree, and they sat underneath the tree and they ate there. They would not eat in the sanctuary. He had a high standard for the holiness of God. But as he got within the brotherhood, as he began to blend with them, and he began to understand them, he said, then's when I understood submission. He said, there's other brothers and sisters that love God. There's other brothers and sisters that appreciate God. And they want to blend themselves together. He said, I had to lay what I thought was awful dear to me, and I had to lay it down. That's submission. Submission is not just giving up something, just it don't mean a whole lot to me. Submission is when I'm going to lay something down that is an awful cost of mine for somebody else, for another. Psalms 40, verse 4. It said, blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wondrous works which thou hast done. Thy thoughts which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offerings thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offerings and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, Lo, I come in the volume of a book of the book. It is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within mine heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Is that your heart? Is that what you have experienced? That Jesus paid the price. And the price to pay is that I can hardly contain myself. That I have held nothing back. And I share the world to the great congregation. His loving kindness. His mercy. His greatness. What he has done for me. That's a testimony. Why can't we have a testimony like David at Burnett Library? Is it because we haven't paid enough of a price? Each one of us should have that same testimony. Am I a Hebrew servant with a deep love for what God has done? Praise God for redemption. The price was paid. A price to pay. May the Lord bless you as you continue to serve Him faithfully. As you look at your own life. We praise God for His redemption. We praise God for His resurrection. We praise God that He gave us life. Let's go forth and serve Him with all our hearts. Pay the price that we need to pay. Because Jesus did it all. He made a way for us. To pay the price. There is no price that's paid that is worth something. We need to pay the price. Each one of you. Shall we stand for closing prayer?